Let's get back to the action with local sports on WCDO.
Terry Grant, along with Billy Blake, we are at the end of halftime for the contest here in Norwich between the Norwich Purple Tornado and the Sydney Warriors. Terrific halftime show put on by the Norwich Purple Tornado Marching Band. Now both teams are getting back out onto the field, and we are just about ready to go again.
Yep, and Norwich with that 20-6 lead, they'll be kicking off to Sydney to start the second half. And one thing I wanted to point out, Harry, about Sydney is that even though they're playing upper class tonight in Norwich, who's a Class B team, this is good practice for the Warriors because they are not in an easy division. They have both Green and Chenango Forks breathing down their necks. They, along with Sydney, are all 2-0 in the Class B Division 5. So that seems to be an extremely tough division. And even though this is a non-league game for the Warriors, they can get a lot of experience out of playing a team in Class B like Norwich. So right now they're down by 14. I'm really interested to see how this team responds on the road in the second half.
Yeah, and the other thing that you're going to find is that when the Sydney Warriors take on Green, it's very late in the season. I want to say it's maybe like week 7. We're not at this time scheduled to do that ball game. And we'll be going down, I don't remember even who that week, and I'm not going to flip and look it up. But we're not scheduled to do that game. But both Forks and Green are all, Forks is a machine. Green, man, there's nothing they like better than sticking it to you. And they do that rather well, rather frequently. So it has been an opportunity for us to look at the foot of Van Stewart. He has impressed the locals here, and he's a youngster at that. If I remember correctly, Bill, he's only a sophomore, I think, isn't he? Yeah, he's a sophomore and already done his stuff pretty darn good, picking up PATs and regular kicks, and on top of that, a couple of field goals. So we are going to be having the start of this contest coming up, period number 3, in just a moment. Tomorrow, on the Saturday afternoon game for WCDO, Billy and I will be at Unadilla Valley, as it will be the Bainbridge Guilford Bobcats taking on the UV Storm. It's the first time we've had the opportunity to see the Storm this year. And if we come up again next week on week 4, it'll be Unitigo at Bainbridge Guilford and the Sydney Warriors at Walton. Now, here's an interesting one. This time, Sydney's playing up a division. Next week, they play down a division. But let me tell you, when you play Walton, anything can happen. The Walton Warriors have an excellent program under Coach Hoover, and as a result, they can be any given team on any given day. I thought I was going to send it over to you to do the third quarter, but it looks like it's going to be a longer than just a moment setup meeting of the officials at the middle part of the field. The Sydney Warriors going to be receiving the ball, I do believe, as now the co-captains come back to their respective sidelines. And here to carry it through, period number 3, Mr. Billy Blake.
Thank you very much, Harry. Norwich coming out on the field again, and they are in their home purple with the white number. Sydney in the visiting white with the maroon outline. And Sydney will be receiving the ball. They will be attacking from right to left in this third quarter. Norwich from left to right.
Looking at some of the other games that are going on tonight, other than the Sydney game, Delhi is down at Deposit tonight. Green is playing at Dryden. They're about the only ones that involve our local area teams. Coming up tomorrow, Walton will be at Unitigo, Bainbridge Guilford at Unadilla Valley, Oxford at Newark Valley, and Oneonta will be playing at Chenango Valley.
And Dan Stewart takes this ball all the way back to the end zone, and Austin McCarroll makes the catch in the end zone, and it will be ruled a touchback. So no time off the clock at all, 12 minutes. In the third quarter, it'll be first and 10 for the Sydney Warriors from their own 20 as Pat Vivard leads his offensive unit out onto the field.
Yeah, 26 was the score, and we saw the Sydney Warriors lead momentarily, but only momentarily. I say that, and I had to correct myself on that. It was first blood drawn by Norwich, and they went up 6-0, 7-0, and then Sydney came back, and it was a 7-6.
Nate McDonald, one of three halfbacks in the backfield, gets the call on the first play from scrimmage of the first half, and that's a gain of 11 or 12. Good for a first down.
So gain on that play. McDonald does not, so far in this ballgame, have tons of running. He manages to add to the 7 yards that he already had for the day.
And now McCarroll with the flip, and he hands it off to McDonald. So a lot of exchanging with the ball in the backfield, and that goes for a gain of 4 or 5, and it will ball be spotted at the 35-yard line.
Well, now he's up over 20, going up to 23 on that one.
Second and 5 for Sydney from their own 35-yard line. Second half just underway at Norwich High. The Purple Tornado have a 20-6 lead. Austin McCarroll gets the ball. He picks up a few, but not enough for a first down.
He had all kinds of people on him. Leading the way that time was number 73. That's Matt Lippa. Lippa, 250 pounds, 6-footer. He's a junior.
Third and short for Sydney. Tight formation. Three backs in the backfield. It's to Nate McDonald going to his right. He plows over one defender and gets the first down as he's taken down at his own 45-yard line.
I was watching Grant Brighton at that time as he was just vicious coming through that line. He didn't figure in the play, never got a hand on the man, but he just blew a hole in that line.
Sydney offense working a bit quickly now. They did go to a huddle, but not a quick one. And there's a carry for Brandon Walters, gain of 1 or 2, but there is a flag on the play.
So it will be first, and we will call a 10 from midfield before that penalty.
And it is a illegal procedure penalty on the Warriors.
That's why I said before the penalty, because I knew it was going to change. That'll move the ball all the way back to the 38-yard line.
Divert with McDonald and a few other backs in the backfield, but it's Austin McCarroll who is wrapped up for no gain.
You look where my finger is right now, and it's pointed down at number 55, Joe Smith. He's a 6-foot, 205-pound senior. I watched him line up, and then this time he was the man who figured in the play as he managed to get the ball carrier and just stop him short. Loss on that play. It'll bring up a second, and we'll call it about 17.
Warriors from their own 36. Warriors showing the tight formation again. It's a flip to the running back, Nate McDonald, and he gets a good amount on the play.
Yeah.
Gain of 4 or 5.
McDonald will get off to the 40-yard line. In fact, maybe even across the 40 by the length of the football. Doesn't get back to the original line of scrimmage, so it's still going to be third, and we'll call it 12.
Wind is starting to pick up here at Norwich High. Second half underway. McDonald, who flips it off to McCarroll. McCarroll's got the first down and more. He's down at the Norwich 40-yard line.
Oh, McCarroll really did a good job that time as he managed to get across midfield down to the 40, but Danny Carson really blew through there. Now, Carson is not a big, heavy player. He's 6 feet tall, 145 pounds. But he managed to get the ball carrier high and just rode him on down. But I see that magic little flag back in the backfield.
Yeah, there is a flag at the 35-yard line, and this one will be coming back, a penalty on the Warriors. So that great run by McCarroll will be erased on the Sydney penalty.
I don't know where your long johns tomorrow. I supposed to be in the mid-60s. So that game that we will be doing up at Unadilla Valley tomorrow, likely to be a whole lot cooler than the temperate conditions tonight.
Officials still spotting the ball as it is third down and more than 20 for the Warriors from their own 31-yard line.
Yeah, that's going to be third, probably about 22, 23 yards.
Tight formation again. Vibbert rolls to his right. He's going to pass here. There he is. There's pressure on him. He's able to get the pass off, and that one is caught from Sidney. That's number 80.
Yeah, that's
Mike Cruz.
That's Mike Cruz. And that was really interesting because Vibbert was caught. He was spun down, so he really was trying to get rid of the ball. He managed to find Cruz. Cruz bobbled it, threw it up in the air, and still managed to dive and catch it. Hit the ground. It still didn't cough up. And it is going to now be a fourth, and we'll call it 12 for the Warriors from about the 41. I'll tell you, if you can't make them clean, make them a good story.
Sidney in punt formation, and we have flags everywhere.
Yeah, I was going to say, not a flag, a whole host of flags out there.
And it is another false start penalty for Sidney on special teams.
Yeah, and with that, it's going to be another kicking situation for number 22. That is Brandon Walters. Walters now going to be kicking from back down at about his 30-yard line.
Walters waiting for the snap. He gets it. Kyle Edwards is back deep for the Purple Tornado.
Ooh, he gets off a great one.
And Edwards calls for the fair catch at his own 30-yard line. And that is where Norwich will start their first drive of the second half. So 8:19 to go, third quarter. The Warriors cannot put any points on the board in their first drive. And Norwich gets the ball back up 14.
Oh, I'll tell you, Walters really got a good foot on that ball. He managed to get that high. And getting it down to the 30 wasn't that bad. You know, his distance-wise was okay, but it was a big high kick. That gave his men lots of time to get downfield. Sutton knew that, and he says, if you think I'm going to run back through this, or Kyle Edwards, whoever took the ball back there, he says, forget this. He called for a fair catch.
Mike Sutton, the junior under center for the Purple Tornado. He's got Edwards in the backfield, and Kyle Edwards gets the call, but not much on that run for him. He might have gone back a yard or two.
He got the call, got the ball, and got warmed. And 7-8 minutes showing on the clock. Boy, there is all of a sudden you feel that cool breeze whip through here. We noticed a lot of the fans went scurrying, and there's no rain in sight, but they certainly did move around and grab sweaters and jackets.
Shotgun for Sutton. He rolls to his right. The option, he keeps it himself, and the city defensive line shuts that play down.
Oh, yeah. Number 75 was in there for the Sidney Warriors. That is, and then get 75. Okay, wrong. And that is going to be Austin Dean. He made a great stop that time.
Third down and 11 for Norwich inside their own 30-yard. He looks, and that pass is deflected at the line of scrimmage and falls incomplete.
Oh, yeah. It was number 34, Mike Chase, who came in and managed to get a hand on that ball, just deflected it, so it was not able to get to the intended receiver.
So the clock stops with 7:08 in the third quarter. Still no scoring in the second half. Norwich has a 20-6 lead over Sidney. Billy Kozak back to return this punt from Kyle Edwards. It's a good punt by Edwards, and that ball goes over Kozak's head, and he will let that ball roll, and that ball rolls inside the 20.
Inside the 10.
Ball will roll to about the 10-yard line, maybe even the 9-yard line. A booming punt by Kyle Edwards, and he got some help as he got some pretty generous bounces, and with 6:56 to go in the third quarter, Sidney will have to go a long way for a touchdown drive.
Yeah, that was just simply a big bounce. And sometimes they bounce in your direction, and that was exactly the case that time, as it hit at about the 30 and then just had a straight shot to the end zone. Finally, it is touchdown right at the 10-yard line. Whew. So it's a 6-5-6. 6 minutes, 56 seconds showing on the clock.
Pat Vibbert, the quarterback, flips to his Running back, that is the senior Nate McDonald. He picks up a couple on the play. They just wanted to get, would give them a few yards and get them away from their own end zone. And yeah. McDonald picked up a pretty good chunk there, 5 or 6 yards.
McDonald gets out now across the 15 to about the 16-yard line. It'll bring up a second, and we'll call it 3.
McDonald gets the ball again, running towards his right side. He's down at his own 21, 22-yard line, close to a first down.
Well, we'll see. They'll have to eyeball it across. Now the signal comes down as the white cap goes ahead and says first down. They'll spot that ball at the 21. So while they move the chain, have time to breathe.
Three backs again in the backfield, and McDonald gets it for a third straight time, but he fumbles the ball, and it looks like Norwich might have come away with it, and they do.
Yeah, the purple tornado that time was pouncing right out. I will say, tremendous second effort on the part of McDonald just getting as far as he did. But he got hit that last time viciously, popped the ball loose. The ball went down across the 30-yard line. So it will be down, and we'll call it the 29. And the purple tornado will take over from there. 6-10, period number 3. Split out to the far side, it's going to be Keegan Franklin.
Man in motion is Kyle Edwards, and they hand it off to the big boy, Grant Brightman, but not much room for him there. Gain of a yard, if that.
Yeah, Brightman didn't get any running room whatsoever. A couple of guys in there on him that time, led by number 22, Brandon Walters, and we have said that name so many times. I think I'm jittery tonight when I jump when I hear a cell phone ring.
Clock rolls along in this third quarter. We have under 6 minutes to go. Second down for the Purple Tornado. Quarterback in shotgun, Sutton keeping it himself, and Sutton looking for some running room to his left, and he is pushed out of bounds near the Sydney sideline.
Yeah,
he got 2 or 3 on that one.
Mike took a hard hit that time. He came over, and they just creamed him right about at the line of scrimmage. Looks like he's going to maybe lose a yard on that play, but you can tell, no great running room whatsoever.
Third down and 9 or 10 for the Purple Tornado at the 29-yard line. Sun in the shotgun again. Two receivers to his right, one receiver to his left. That's number 1, Kyle Edwards. Brightman in the backfield. Throw intended to Kyle Edwards as he was running a slant route, but that throw was a bit out in front of him, and it will be fourth down.
Yeah, Keegan Franklin had lots of running room on the near sideline. He wasn't figuring in the play at all, but he took men with him because they couldn't afford not to defend him. Inside 5 now, 4:49 on the clock. The ball fourth down, and it is still resting at about the 29-yard line, deep in Sydney territory.
They will keep Dan Stort, the kicker, on the sidelines. He was stretching his legs. Looked like he might have come in to possibly attempt another long field goal, but they will keep the offensive unit out on the field on this fourth down play.
Man in motion is going to be Burke.
Burke lines up to the left. Keegan Franklin, the receiver, to the right. The snap is low, but Sutton recovers, throws over the middle, and that one is incomplete, nearly caught. It was in and out of the hands of the tight end, Michael Orles.
Yeah, Michael Orles was down there. He had a couple of other intended receivers down there also. Nobody able to catch up to it. That ball just drops to the dirt. And as a result, it will be the Sydney Warriors taking over on downs that they have the ball at the 29-yard line.
And the Warriors can exhale a little bit as that fumble by McDonald did not cost them any points. First down and 10 for Sydney from their own 29. 4:44 to go in the third quarter. Vibbert gives it to Austin McCarroll, and McCarroll, right in the middle of the field, gets dragged down after he picks up 2 or 3.
Yeah, the man that came in to stop him that time, Matt Burke, 5'7", 155 pounds, and he had enough muscle in that 155 pounds to stop the ball carrier. Gain of 5 on that play.
Ball placed at the Sydney 34-yard line. McCarroll McDonald in the backfield, along with Billy Kozak. And Billy Kozak gets the call, and he's got some running room.
Woo!
He's got the first down and more. He's taken down at the Norwich 48-yard line. So Billy Kozak with a nice run, and he gets the Sydney first down.
Yeah. Give him more than, well, give him just about 20. It was about 18, 19 yards. And he was finally caught from behind by Mike Sutton as the speedy junior managed to catch up to him.
And the ball is loose again. Not a clean exchange between the quarterback, Pat Vibbard, and Austin McCarroll. But McCarroll is able to fall on it, avoiding another Sydney turnover.
Well, it will be a second and 10 situation. The ball down at the 49-yard line across in Norwich territory.
Kozak, McCarroll, and Walters in the backfield. Vibbard goes to Walters this time, and he picks up a gain of 4, maybe 5, as he's down inside the Norwich 45-yard line.
Yep, they're going to spot that down just about at the 44-and-a-half-yard line. No, now they're going to, it's interesting, I was watching the guy in the near sideline, it was quick planted, I thought that's where they're going to call it, and then they spot the ball down about a half-yard behind that, right on the 45.
Third down and about 6 for Sydney. Three backs again. And Austin McCarroll, and McCarroll breaks through. He's got the first down, and he's inside the 30, still on his feet. And now he's pushed forward a bit, and he's down near the 21-yard line.
Oh, Mike Sutton was the man that got a hand on him back at the 25. Sutton's so frustrated he wasn't able to bring him down because McCarroll really had good power that time. Two other Norwich Purple Tornadoes came in and grabbed a hold of him, and the three men finally managed to stop McCarroll's forward progress at about the 21.
A long drive for the Sydney offense right now that started around their own 20-yard line. Vibbard back in the pocket. Play action pass to the end zone. Intended for number 45. Falls incomplete. That is Jared Covey, the tight end. He was open. He did create some space for himself, but the throw from Vibbard was a bit out of his reach.
Yeah, Kyle Edwards is right on his tail. He saw him going toward that far corner, and Vibbard had all the time in the world to get that pass off. It will bring up now a second and 10 again.
Vibbard has McCarroll and Kozak and Walters in the backfield. Kozak gets it this time. He picks up a few.
Yeah, that went from Vibbard to McCarroll and then to Kozak as they did the double handoff there. And Kozak gets down across the 20, down, we'll call it to the 19, gain of maybe 3.
We approach the 2-minute mark of this third quarter. The Norwich Purple Tornado have a 20-6 lead over the Sydney Warriors. You've yet to see anyone score in this third quarter so far. Here's Austin McCarroll going left side. He is hit near the 17-yard line.
Oh, McCarroll picking up another 3. He has just been the workhorse in this ballgame. He is now up near 55 yards.
So the clock continues to roll along as it is a fourth down opportunity for the Sydney Warriors. Vibbard, the quarterback, running into the huddle. They will go for it.
Yeah, we'll call it 4th and 5. Coming out over top of the ball is Trey Crawford, who is the center for the Warriors.
Kozak gets the ball running to his right. He is hit hard near the 11 or 12-yard line.
I think he's going to be short, though, probably by maybe less than a yard. They're going to finally put it down there. They're going to say his knee came down. So it will be the Norwich Purple Tornado taking over as he is probably about a yard shy of what he needed to get that time.
That drive took a lot of time off the clock for the Warriors, but no points for Sydney. 1:17 to go, third quarter. Purple Tornado up by 14.
20-6 is our score. Remember, we had another quarter of this game, and then tomorrow it will be the BG Bobcats at Unadilla Valley.
Junior Mike Sutton leads the offense back on the field for their next drive, and it's a carry for the other senior, Kyle Edwards. Edwards gets three or four on that carry.
Yeah, Keegan Franklin managed to open a little bit of hold outside and give Edwards just that much more running room. And he gets the 15. That'll be a gain. We'll call it four.
Under 1 minute to go. We got that fast clock going here at Norwich High. And junior quarterback Mike Sutton looking over to his quarterback for the signs. Now there's 10 seconds on the play clock. They're going to have to get to the line of scrimmage in a hurry. Under five to go. Sutton is under center. If they do get the playoff in time, they go to the fullback, Graham Brightman. Brightman with a couple on that carry.
Yeah, Brightman will get out, I believe, to the 20, so we'll give him three on that. Brightman having to do his work today.
And Norwich will not run another play in this third quarter. So as the clock winds down at Norwich High at the end of three quarters of play, it is the Norwich Provo Tornado 20 and the Sydney Warriors 6. This is Friday Night Football on the Tri-County Heartbeat, WCDO.
The Amphenol Corporation of Sydney wishes all Tri-Town area sports teams much success throughout this season. Amphenol is proud to be a part of the Tri-Town sports tradition, and they support all high school sporting events. Amphenol hopes that the broadcast of these games will provide both convenience and enjoyment, and we urge you to get out and support your favorite teams. The Amphenol Corporation of Sydney, happy to contribute to live Tri-Town area high school sports on WCDO.
Are you ready for winter driving? Have you checked your tires and antifreeze level? Why not stop at Sydney Tire for a free evaluation? Sydney Tire has the right tire to meet your driving needs, from wet traction all-season treads to aggressive, studdable, and non-studdable snow tires. Their friendly, experienced staff is ready to help you. But are you ready for winter driving? Stop into Sydney Tire on Route 7, 1 mile east of Sydney toward Unadilla, or call Sydney Tire at 563-2828 today.
Your local sports leader for over 20 years. FM 101 and AM 1490 WCDO.
Welcome back to Norwich High. Billy Blake with you. The Norwich Purple Tornado have a 20-6 lead over the Sydney Warriors. And with the play-by-play in the fourth quarter, let's turn things over to Harry Graves.
Thank you much, Mr. Bell. Well, we have 12 minutes remaining in this contest. The ball has now moved to the other end of the field. It's going to be spotted down at the 20-yard line. And it will be third, and we will call it a long two for the Purple Tornado. Mike Sutton still in the backfield. Long count, and the ball is going to be kept in there by Sutton. He'll finally pass it out to Grant Brightman, and it's going to be ruled incomplete. He had to scramble a little bit before he was able to get that one off. Let a lot of Norwich Purple Tornado players move apart, and there were a lot of white Sydney jerseys around Brightman.
Yeah, I was going to say, Brightman might have been hearing footsteps. There were three or four Sydney defenders around him who were ready to all just come in on him at once as soon as he made the catch. And Brightman also might have been thinking about what he was going to do after he made the catch. But he dropped the ball, and now it's fourth down.
So now, finally, the wide cap whips his hand. That'll start the clock. And now, no sooner does he do that, and he says it's going to be a timeout called by the Norwich Purple Tornado. So we do have a brief pause in the action, and we'll take time to stay right here. We're going to be seeing the Sydney Warriors several times coming up in the rest of the season. Week four, they'll be on the road next Saturday over to Walton. That's an interesting one because I was hoping that it was going to be the game closest to here, because next week at the State University College of Oswego, they are having a reunion of all baseball players who ever played dark ages to current. And I was thinking, man, I'd love to go see that. Well, the thing of it is that going from Walton to Catskills all the way to Oswego is, I think, insanity. So I think I'm going to end up passing that. They're having a golf event on Friday. They're going to be having a banquet on Saturday. They're going to be having an old-timers baseball game, which I will pass on Sunday, but good time up there. Then the Sydney Warriors will be at home on week 5 taking on, get this, the Green Trojans. Then we do not see Sydney on week 6, but the week 7 game will be against a non-league foe, the Unifigo Spartans, and then it's down to North Valley for week 8. Well, here we go again. 11:54, period number 4, long count. Now the snap goes back. It's going to be kicked away by Edwards. High kick, not very distant. The Sydney Warriors are going to let it roll. It finally does get across the midfield stripe and touchdown at about the 49.5 over in Sydney Warrior territory. Interesting now, every time somebody comes into the press box and you feel that blast of cold air. Temperature's probably dropped, 20 to 30 degrees over what it was at the start of the game. It's actually quite mild at that time.
And Harry, this is a big drive for the Warriors because last time we saw them run the ball very well, but no points on the board for them. And as a result of running the ball, a lot of time ticked off the clock, and time is not on their side as they're down by 14.
Oh, look out. McCarroll out in the clear. Finally, is going to be brought down from behind. It's Carson who manages to bring him down. Danny Carson brings him down at the 30, but a gain on that, 20 yards. McCarroll, that's an interesting one because we have seen that play time and again, where they'll go with the double reverse. That time it was McCarroll who came out of the pack with it and is off to the races. Now it will be tried again. I don't see the flag thrown. It's going to be Nate McDonald forced out of bounds at about the 10. The officials threw things down, but I don't see any yellow flags anywhere. Gain on that play, we will call it about 19.
Yeah, that was a fumble, so the officials throwing down a marker to see where the ball would be spotted out after the fumble, but McDonald, the senior running back, picked it up and kept his head down and kept running towards that corner, and now the Warriors, in a blink of an eye, just two plays later, they're all the way down at the 10.
Excellent field position. The ball on the near side, hash mark. So Vibbert pitches it out this time to McDonald, and McDonald will get a little bit of running room. Gain maybe 3 as he's down now inside the 8. All you could see that time was the big 4 on his back as the 2 was totally covered up. Anytime you see a player like that, you know it's going to be Nate McDonald. Ball spotted down at the 7. And again, it will be the double reverse, this time number 6. That's Damian Zimmer, who is going to be the man who will get it to carry, but loss on that play of a couple. That will move it out to about the 8. Okay, I guess they're going to say only 1. 10:25, the clock running.
And Sydney has got to be able to get a touchdown over these next two plays here. They got to get some energy back in this in the team.
So the ball will be in the air, but in the end zone, and nobody's going to be near it.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that was intended for either tight end Jared Covey or Mike Cruz, but they were both open. The ball was thrown well behind Cruz and a little bit behind Covey as well, and they both kind of looked up towards Vibbert, not really sure what was going on there, but they had a good play call there on third down going to the pass after establishing the run.
Yeah, Vibbert goes to the far sidelines, and it looks like he's been winded a little bit. He went over at first. I thought it was just going to be to talk to Coach Matthews, and now he is sitting down on the ground, and they are going to pay attention to him as the coaches are out there trying to work on him and get things going. We've got a pause in the action. So we will take care of a little business right here on your station for sports, WCDO.
Did you realize that over 85% of Americans own a cell phone, but only 48% own an individual life insurance policy? That leaves way too many families who will be unprotected if they suddenly lose a parent. That's why we'd also like to point out that 100% of State Farm agents offer life insurance. So if you're at a place where procrastination just meant motivation, use that cell phone of yours to call State Farm agent Rose Smith today at 563-3533.
The Tri-County Heartbeat is FM 101 and AM 1490 WCDO.
So Patrick Zibbert on that one, shaking up a little bit winded, but he's all right. He is up and in the huddle now, and the clock has been started one more time.
And I don't blame Sydney for taking a timeout in that situation. First of all, to give Vibbard a little bit of time to catch his breath. And also, this is fourth and goal. You need to have a good play design here.
So it's going to be Vibbard passing, and it's going to be picked off. It's up, and it's going to be Brightman. Big number 47 goes into the air, grabs the ball, but there is a flag on the play at the 15-yard line. That was a late flag. It came after the ball had been received and after the run by Brightman had come up. They say it is going to be against Norwich.
Yeah, it was a block in the back, but I think they called it after the interception was made, so the ball will stay with Norwich. They were just pushing it back a little bit.
So the Norwich Purple Tornado retained possession of the football. The march off of the yardage for the penalty moves it down inside the 10, inside the 8, down to about the 7, 7.5-yard line. But Norwich doesn't care at all. They lead in this ball game by a 20-6 score. We have just 9 minutes and 57 seconds left in this ball game. So it is Sutton and company going to keep it on the ground. They'll go to Brightman. And I say that, and Brightman manages to plow his way up across the 15. Now big number 47 is helped up by his teammate. And the official will spot the ball down and will call it the 17.
Expect a heavy dose of both running backs Kyle Edwards and Grant Brightman. Norwich already up in this game by 14 here in the fourth quarter with the ball. They just want to keep this clock going. Do not want to give Sydney the ball back with much time to spare. Sydney defensively, especially that front four, that line, has got to keep those two guys contained.
The chains are being brought all the way to the near side because they want to move the ball in. It's only about 15 feet in from the near sidelines. They've got to move it into the hash mark. They want to make sure that they've got it in the right position. They have now measured. They say they're short by 2 or 3 inches is what the referee signaled out to the sideline. So now they move the chains and the ball into the hash marks, and they will put everything down. And it will be fourth, and we will call it inches. So here we go. The ball just inches high of the 17-yard line. And it will be second is what they're going to say. Yep, second, and we'll call it a couple of inches. Well, the temperature has dropped a little bit. It hasn't dampened the enthusiasm at all. Which fans enjoying their first home game of the season. Now Mike Sutton, long call, whips around, goes again to Brightman, and Brightman could be out ahead of the pack, but he won't get away from number 6. That is Damian Zimmer. Number 24, Nate McDonald, right there to lend assistance, and they will ride down Brightman, but not until he gets out to about the 40-yard line.
And Brightman's starting to emerge here in the fourth quarter. He has been relatively quiet through the first three quarters, but he's had two phenomenal runs in this fourth quarter.
He is just a fine athlete. 9 minutes even on the clock. Here we go. Standing straight up. Mike Sutton looks up and down his line. Now everybody's set, and he will once again go to number 47 and give Brightman about a five-yard pickup as he's up to the 45.
And then those kind of runs, 4, 5, 6 yards, are perfect. It gets you not only that much closer to a first down, keeps that clock rolling. 8:30 to go. Clock certainly in the favor of the Purple Tornado.
Yeah, you just want to grind things out. Once you're comfortably in the lead, that's where you go. So here we go one more time. Sutton. Everybody straight behind him, and this time he'll go to the second man through, and it is going to be hard-charging Brightman again, I do believe. Yep, number 47 up off the back of that, the bottom of that pile. He is listed as a fullback. So often we get just a whole plethora of backs, and they rotate position. You don't see him up in that halfback position at all.
And he is a true fullback, 5'11", 210.
Yep. Good day. You just churn him out. Ball at the 45. Third and about five to go. Sutton whips around but decides to keep it himself as he tries to pick up a block and he can't get it. He will gain a couple of yards and get to the 48-yard line, but it will bring up a fourth down situation. We have seen the kicking in this ballgame as number 6, Zan Stewart, and he is going to be back kicking again. He was over at the watering wagon spraying off his helmet just moments ago. Now he's got that helmet on and is ready to kick. 6:52. Snap goes back to him. And it's going to be Keegan Edwards. It was not Zan Stewart. It's Keegan Edwards who kicked it. And it will be down to Nate McDonald at the 40-yard line. So Edwards kicks that one away only for about 20, 22 yards. Brought down by McDonald, who comes back to the 40, and that's where the Sydney Warriors will take over. Sydney in their white traveling uniforms and the Norwich Purple Tornado decked out in purple top to bottom with white numerals. Grady Murphy that time really got crunched on that play. First time I've seen him in there for the Purple Tornado today. Oh, look out. It is going to be Damian Stewart or Damian, was that Austin McHale? Damian Zimmer or Austin McHale?
It looks like Damian Zimmer.
Yep, number 6, Damian Zimmer. Both are very fast players. Both are single-digit players. But to make matters even worse, one wears number 6, the other wears number 8. I can't even say that it's a muddy field today. Playing on the turf here at Norwich, at least we don't have dirty uniforms to contend with. They move the chains. It'll be 1st and 10, Sydney. And still with the ball, still on the move, the Warriors are going to be down very close to first down territory. And guess it? It is going to be numero 6 again, Damian Stewart on the carry, first down for the Warriors as they are inside the 35.
I mean, we've seen it from Austin McCarroll, we've seen it from Nate McDonald, and now we're seeing it from Damian Zimmer. They just have so much depth in the backfield.
And the ball this time will be Nate McDonald, number 24, who gets again very close to first down territory. They may choose to measure, let's see, nope, they're going to say first down Warriors as the signal is given. That ball now spotted down at the 23-yard line. So Sydney not taking long huddles this time. The ball will be Dimmer's to carry. Dimmer testing the left side of the line. He takes a lot of big steps, picks up not quite as much yardage as on the last three plays. He'll only get about 5, but the Warrior drive continues.
And Sydney still has two timeouts left, so if they wanted to use them, they certainly could. But I think this up-tempo style is favoring them right now.
And that was a difficult get out sometimes. It is going to be number six carrying again. Damian Zimmer manages to get very close to first down territory. He is down at about the 12-yard line. And let's see, they are going to say first down Sydney Warriors. So the Warriors have put together four first downs in this drive. They now have the ball down at about the 12 and a half yard line. The chains are moved, and the Sydney Warriors on the go again. It is going to be Trey Crawford up over the football, and the backs behind him are not going to get much running room. Nate McDonald trying to get a little bit, can't do it, gets back to the line of scrimmage, and he will be stopped there.
Yeah, McDonald and Vibbert look like they ran into each other. I don't know if that was some miscommunication between the two of them, but they collided, and McDonald's momentum on the carry was just taken away, and he wasn't able to get much of anything.
Yeah, sometimes it'll go like that. 4:48 remaining in this ballgame. For those of you just joining us, the Norwich Purple Tornado has led throughout. It's 20-6 right now. Ball will be capped on the ground, and it is going to be, I can't remember who ends up with it. One of the two. I believe that is going to be Walters, who was the ball carrier that time. He was brought down hard by Grant Brightman. I could see all of Brightman laying on top of him, but I had no clue who the ball carrier was that time. Well, tomorrow afternoon, we will have an afternoon game coming to you from the press box on the football field at Unadilla Valley as the Bainbridge Guilford Bobcats will be up there. Billy and I will be there. It is going to be a 1:30 kickoff, so we will be there hopefully on the air at about quarter after the hour, something like that. And we expect to see two passing teams. Both of those coaches have said, now we're going to be throwing the ball a little bit. We've seen Corbin Palmer. We know he can throw the ball. But it is going to be the Haycook-Holman combination and a few other players that are going to be throwing and receiving the football for the UB Storm.
Yeah, we've actually seen Bainbridge Guilford a couple of times already this season.
Yeah.
And they've looked very good. As you said, Corbin Palmer, a proven quarterback for that team, and they look to get things done in their division.
It'll be interesting when we see a few of the divisions of who's won, who's lost. Look out, Vibbard with the football inside the five as he gets down to about the two. But a flag is thrown after he gets all the way down to about the two-yard line. And we will see what came in. There was an interesting situation where Vibbard looked like he wanted to throw, didn't have a man open, and at the very last moment just tucked that ball under his wing, and away he went. The foul is going to be against the Norwich Purple Tornado, so that will advance it another yard, and it is going to be first and goal to go from about the one. So the suspense continues.
That was a huge penalty on the Purple Tornado. Automatic first down inside the one.
Bill Vibbard now goes in there to Damian Zimmer. Zimmer goes in, breaks the vertical plane, and boom, he goes through. So put Zimmer in there for a one-yard plunge with 3 minutes, 59 seconds remaining in this game. The score has been closed to 20-12. Now, I'll tell you, I don't think either one of these coaches can be disappointed in what they have seen from their players in this contest. I'll tell you, the people that would have to be reasonably impressed, look out, it's going to be Nate McDonald. Nate McDonald manages to get number four. That is going to be Mike Sutton. Sutton was the last man who had a chance to get a hand on him. Couldn't do it. And with that, the score goes up to 20-14. Ooh. Now, it changes the complexion a whole lot. We'll be back with the final 4 minutes of this football game here, Friday Night Football on WCBO.
The Eggly family and the Eggly Machine Company on Route 7 Riverside in Sydney proudly support high school sports on WCBO. The future of our area lies in the hands of our youth, and Eggly Machine urges students to work hard in school. It's very important to complete your education, as today's job market is very competitive. No matter what field you're going into, prepare yourself for a prosperous and rewarding career. Eggly Machine is a proud Tri-Town company that designs and builds injection molds for the plastics industry and components for a variety of other companies. Eggly Machine proudly supports the youth in our communities and is happy to be a part of high school sports on WCDO.
Your New York State Excellence in Broadcasting award-winning station, FM 101 and AM 1490, WCDO.
Harry Graves and Billy Blake back here at Norwich High School. Well, we had mentioned that the cold wind came in. Well, now with that touchdown, all of a sudden we see a few umbrellas going up. So it looks like with about 4 minutes remaining that we've got a sprinkle. We don't see them looking up into the lights. I haven't seen them up there yet. But in any event, with the number of umbrellas that went up, I think that we do have a sprinkle in the air. Long or low kick, not long, very short, more than 10 yards. It'll go about 13. It's going to be falling on by the Norwich Purple Tornado at the 47-yard line.
Yeah, this rain will definitely add another element here in the final 4 minutes as Sydney is fresh off of their 8-point drive, the 1-yard run for Zimmer, followed up by the Nate McDonald's run for the 2-point conversion, and that onside kick for the Warriors didn't work out that much, but if they can get a 3-and-out and get the ball back quickly, who knows?
Now you'll notice that the ball boys on both sides are covering up the football, so they'll be putting fresh footballs in there all the time. It is going to be Mr. Brightman rumbling forward as Grant Brighton gets across midfield and down to, we'll call it the 47. We'll call it, you know, 6-yard gain, something like that. Man split out to the near side this time is going to be Matt Burke. Long count. Sutton's in no hurry at all. The clock continues. He just looks at the clock, and now he's going to be ready to drop down. But he wants to make sure as many seconds run off as they can, and he will keep the ball on the ground, and it is going to be just run it out. And let's see, it is going to be Brightman again. So the big fullback lumbers forth only for a couple of yards, but at this point, the main thing you want to do is keep that clock running. It's now down to 2:50.
And Sydney's not going to use that final precious timeout. They want to keep that for Pat Vibbert in the offensive unit if they can.
So it will be now Sutton and company. He'll spin around. He will once again go in there to big number 47, and that is Brightman. Brightman easily gets the first down as he is down across the 45, down to about the 42, 2.5 minutes remaining in this game. So when we say sprinkles, I mean, we see a drop or two. It is not coming down. We don't see water in front of the lights. We don't see a lot of water, raindrops on the glass in front of us. It was just enough to thin out the crowd a little bit. And the ball will be into the arms of Brightman again. And with that, Grant Brightman manages to lumber his way down across the 40 to the 36-yard line. It will bring up a second, and we'll call it 5.
And now with under 2 minutes to go, Sydney might be able or might be forced to call that final timeout on the defensive side of the ball.
1:44. Clock still running. Great battle. This was a good game. As we've said before, we would much rather watch a terrific football game than have it as a toss-up as to who wins it. rather than to a lopsided contest. Now, if you go back to the last time we were at this field, last time we were sitting here, we watched a demolition of Oneonta. So think in terms when Norwich plays Oneonta and think what that is likely to be. That is probably not going to be a pretty ball game. 1 minute, even, on the clock now. So it's going to be third, and we'll call it three, the play starting right from the 35. And it will be a very short pickup. Once again, it is going to be Grant Brightman. So Brightman carries it down, gets about a yard, and we are going to have that timeout that you called. It will be the Sydney Warriors calling timeout. So we've got to pause in the action, and that gives us time to do a little bit of business. Harry Graves, Billy Blake, here at Norwich High School on WCDO.
Protect what matters most. Preferred Mutual Insurance Company has a strong foundation in the insurance industry with a commitment to a promising future right here at home, offering property and casualty insurance products to meet the personal and business needs of our customers through independent agents in our communities. We have been proudly serving our agents and policyholders since 1896. Visit online at preferredmutual.com. The home office of Preferred Mutual Insurance Company is located at 1 Preferred Way, New Berlin, New York. Preferred Mutual proudly supports high school football on WCDO.
Your local sports leader for over 20 years. FM 101 at AM 1490 WCDO.
Well, Harry and Billy back here at Norwich High School. Well, we said the Norwich Purple Tornado came into this ball game having dropped a contest to UE and then scoring a win on week number two. Sydney had a 2-0 record with wins over Whitney Point in a league contest and Oneonta in a non-leaguer. Here we go. Final 47 seconds of this ball game. The ball will be carried by Brightman again, and they may not have giving him forward progress to keep this drive alive. That was fourth, and he needed to get about two. And you can see how much he dented that vertical line, and I do believe, let's see, now they're going to say, okay, we got to measure it. So anything to keep the suspense going.
Yeah, we've seen a couple of measures already tonight, and why not have another one here in the final minute of play?
Yeah, right. Well, we have ourselves a Friday night football game winding down. Saturday it's going to be the Fiji Bobcats against the Unadilla Valley Storm. Oh, they put it down, and they are going to say first down for the Sydney Warriors. So the Norwich Purple Tornado did not make that first down, and it's turned over on downs, 41.2 seconds. Well, if you wanted to see a climax, this is the way to see it. Here we go.
And the one thing, though, that does not bode well for Sydney is that they are running offense. And running the ball now with no timeouts and less than a minute to go does not help their cause.
Oh, Vibbard shakes off one man, still wants to pass. He goes downfield intended for Nate McDonald. I'll tell you, the Purple Tornado defender who had a hold of Vibbard could have thrown him for a loss. But Bibber, being a slippery eel, managed to break away and reverse his direction and go back to the far sideline, throw on the run, and get it very close to Nate McDonald. Close but no cigar. So, split out to the near side this time. Billy Kozak. Bibber again is going to throw. He goes to Kozak. Kozak runs out of bounds because he had already seen a flag in the backfield. So this is probably going to be against the Sydney Warriors. And what do we got? Signals for both.
Illegal shift on Sydney. And I believe it's on the receiver, Billy Kozak. He was talking things over quickly with the officials, so that ball will go back a few yards.
So, poor Billy. He had the opportunity that time, wanted to be the intended receiver. So it will bring up a second, and we'll call it 15:27.7 seconds. Kozak again slits to the near side. It is Brandon Walters over on the far side, and he had started his forward motion a little bit too soon, and that millisecond will mean another 5 yards march off against the Sydney Warriors. And it will bring up a second down again. Second down now, 20.
Penalties have just crushed the Warriors tonight. In the first half, it was on a special teams unit, and now we're seeing it here late. Nate McDonald, I think, was the receiver in the slot who jumped a bit early. And when you have to go far down the field with no timeouts to spare, giving up 5 yards certainly not helping the cause at all.
Now, that is absolutely for sure. So here we go. Vibbard wants to pass. Oh, gets around a man again. Goes complete to the 38-yard line, complete to Damian Zimmer. But with only 15 seconds and no timeouts, the Warriors immediately set up again, dropping back as Vibbard again scrambles and gets away from people downfield, but it's going to be out of bounds. The intended receiver was Billy Kozak, but he was overthrown, and Vibbard's pass finally goes out of bounds. Final score, 20-14. The Norwich Purple Tornado scored at the end of the first period, and that lead held up throughout the entire evening. We'll be back with a final note or two coming up in just a moment. You're listening to your station for sports, WCBO.
There's no time like the present to get the most out of your home. NBT Bank is here to make your decision easy. For a limited time, we're offering a home equity line of credit with a 6-month introductory rate of 1% APR. It's flexible and easy to work with NBT Bank. And great fixed rates on home equity loans are also available now. That's how we keep putting our customers first every single day. Visit any NBT Bank office or call 800-NBT-BANK for details on credit costs and terms. NBT Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
When shopping for a new mattress or home furnishings and decor, look no further than the area's value leader, the Catalog Outlet Stores of Unadilla, Oneonta, North Norwich, and Margaretville, where their large selection and everyday low prices are the best around. At the Catalog Outlet Stores, you'll find quality brand name home furnishings for every room, including sofas, recliners, bedrooms, dining rooms, entertainment centers, and much more. And for a good night's sleep, treat yourself to a new mattress. From our in-store sleep centers, nobody sells mattresses for less. Open 7 days a week or visit online at catalogoutletonline.com. The Catalog Outlet, celebrating 23 years of offering you the best for less.
Double-digit pay rises are history. Now, money's a lot harder to get a hold of and even harder to hang on to. That's why State Farm agent Rose Smith would like to offer you a free discount check. She'll go through your car insurance policy to make sure you're getting all the discounts you deserve and aren't leaving any money on the table. So call State Farm agent Rose Smith in Sydney today. Because being there to help keep more of your money in your pocket is why she's here. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Call 563-3533.
Let's get back to the action with local sports on WCDO.
Well, Harry Graves and Billy Boy back here at Norwich. It is going to be a very happy night. Actually, I want to say for both coaches. Both coaches had to feel that they saw good things. The one thing that I didn't like was the number of penalties, because some of those penalties the errors that were made by the Sydney Warriors were avoidable. And that's the part. Once in a while you get caught with one that's sort of not avoidable, but there were a lot of them today that were avoidable. Before we wrap up tonight's broadcast, I want to make sure that we recognize several very important people. First of all, we want to thank our sponsors who support the area sports teams and keep these broadcasts on the air. And also give a tip of the hat to the office and sales folks at WCDO for all of the behind-the-scenes things that they do to make these broadcasts possible. And finally, Billy and I appreciate ever so much the work of Joe Gardner back at the studio, who handles all the crises and keeps everything cool, calm, under control out here. And not only that, he maintains our WCDO website. So without Joe, these games wouldn't be added to our archives and wouldn't be available. So let me do a very quick recap. With 4 minutes and 6 seconds remaining in opening period, Mike Sutton had a 15-yard run. That was a 6-0 ball game. And Stewart, PAT kick, up to 7-0. Goodney, very quickly in the opening moments of period number two, got a 7-yard run by Austin McCarroll. It was close, but no tie, as the PAT attempt didn't go. The score stayed 7-6. Keegan Franklin ran one in later. A kick return, 80 yards, got up to 14-6. And then we saw the foot of Van Stewart, as he got 25 and 33-yard field goals, that upped it to 20-6. And the score stayed that way until the fourth and final quarter, when Damian Zimmer managed to plunge over with about 4 minutes remaining, and it was a 20-14 score, and that's where it ended. Any great words of wisdom before we do the final workout here?
Oh, this is up to date. This has, I think, been the best game that we've seen so far in Section 4. Even though these two teams come from different classes, these are two similar teams, and as you said, Harry, throughout the night, they have about the same amount of players on the team, about the same number of reserves. You always like to see an even amount of players on both teams. I think for Sydney, this was a nice test for them to play up a class, play Norwich from Class B, because Sydney is in such a tough division with Shenango, Forks, and Green. Those are going to be three teams that are going to be tough to beat, and getting experience against a Class B team like Norwich early on in the year can only help them despite the loss tonight. And for Norwich, a good win at home, their first home game of the season. And one thing that occurred to me just now was, it's not too often the visiting team has a game played on the home team's field before the home team does. So in a way, it was kind of home field for Sydney, even though Norwich was technically the home team. But it was just a great game in week number three of the football season.
They're always fun to see good football games. Hopefully we'll see another reasonable one tomorrow. Our post-game show tonight being brought to you by the fine folks at NBT Bank. Serving the community for over 150 years and putting the customers first every single day. NBT Bank, member FDIC. Mr. Billy, offensive player.
Yeah, well, before I start with the awards, I just want to say tonight, with it being such a good game and a lot of players contributing for both teams, it was very tough for me to come up with these awards. And I went to I don't want to say unusual position, but a not-so-likely position for the offensive player of the game. I went to the kicker for the Purple Tornado, Zan Stewart, who had two big kicks, one of which was a 42-yard field goal at the end of the first half. You don't see that too often in high school football, but the fact that they have a good kicker on this roster, and throw in this too, he's only a sophomore, he could be the difference maker for this team down the road for Norwich.
But there's one more thing. This early in the season, that's a great kick for this early in the season. So, Zan Stewart. The post-game show also being sponsored by the Catalog Outlet, your store with over 1,000 items. For a good deal and a good deal more, shop the Catalog Outlet store. Now four locations, Unadilla, Oneonta, North Norwich, and now Margaretville. Dynamic defensive player.
Yeah, again, this was a tough one for me as well. I went to Grant Brightman, also of the Norwich Purple Tornado. While he did have a lot of good carries on the offensive side of the ball, defensively, he had a huge interception in the fourth quarter off the junior quarterback for Sydney, Pat Vibbard, that gave Norwich the ball back, took a lot of momentum away from Sydney. So Grant Brightman, who's a fullback, yes, he gets the defensive player of the game tonight.
Not bad. And the All-Purpose Award being awarded by the Smith Agency. Your local State Farm agent on Route 7, Riverside, Sydney. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Call Rose Smith and her crew at Sydney, 607-563-3533. So the All-Purpose.
And is it going to be a Norwich sweep?
No, it is not going to be a Norwich sweep tonight. Sydney will get in the awards tonight, and Sydney had so many players contribute to them on both sides of the ball. You throw out Nate McDonald, you throw out Billy Kozak, just to name a few, but Brandon Walters is the guy that gets the all-purpose award tonight. Not only is he the punter for the Sydney team, he had a lot of good carries in that first half, and despite the losing effort, it is Brandon Walters who is the all-purpose player on this Friday night for Norwich.
No complaints. Final score again, 20-14, the Norwich Purple Tornado over the Sydney Warriors. Tomorrow, 1:30, Billy and I will be back up at the Unadilla Valley Field for the game between the BG Bobcats and the UV Storm. I'm Harry Graves.
And I'm Billy Blake.
And we'll be there tomorrow. Hope you will be, too. It's always a great time to see a football game. But remember, bring a sweater or a fleece tomorrow because it's going to be a little bit cooler. In the meantime, stay tuned for more continuous favorites on FM 101 and AM 1490 WCBL. From Norwich High School, thank you ever so much for lending us your ears. Good evening, everybody.